Hey there, welcome to Morning Manna. It's Wednesday, January 5th. My name's Clint Hostetler. I'll be filling in today, so thank you for your time. I wanted to start off the new year with a new mindset, and so I wanted to focus on the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And written about 62 AD, while Paul was in prison in Rome, the book of Colossians, like so many of Paul's letters, was written to address an issue in the church. The church in Colossae, started by Epaphras, one of Paul's early converts, had an issue with heresy. This specific heresy trying to work its way into the church was a weird mixture of Judaizers, Gnosticism, and Eastern mysticism. All the attempts to make Christianity more relevant for the day and the culture in which they lived in. Does that sound familiar? Like most of Paul's epistles, the book of Colossians is broken into two sections. The first section being doctrinal, essentially affirming the truth of the gospel. And then you had the application section, which reminded the recipients how to live right in the circumstances and culture and day. It's important to note wherever Paul or the gospel message went and was planted, false teachers would always come in soon after trying to uproot, destroy, or pervert the truth. It was true back then, and it's still true today. Wherever God is doing something, where his people are working, or where the gospel is spreading, the enemy always comes to try and disrupt, discourage, derail, or destroy. So Paul starts the letter first by thanking the Lord for the faith of these Christians at the church in Colossae and goes on to discuss the preeminence of Christ and God's ultimate plan of redemption through Christ. He then moves to refute the heresy of the day, first addressing the Gnosticism, then the legalism of the Judaizers, reminding the early believers there in Colossae that they had died with Christ and had also been raised with Christ by faith or through faith. So chapter 3 is where we're going to pick up today, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 4. Paul, beginning with an exhortation, says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this day. Lord, each day is new with your blessings and mercy, provision, love, grace, all these things. I thank you for your word that gives us a light in these dark days. I pray that you would just reveal to our hearts through this scripture how we can grow in you. And I thank you once again for your grace and mercy and your word that keeps us straight. And I just lift this time up in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's dig in. Paul starts with, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." Some translations read, "since you were raised with Christ," and actually this is more appropriate to the original context, as Paul has already alluded to their genuine faith in previous chapters. See, in chapter 1, Paul opens thanking the Lord for their faith, a faith that he has heard of, a faith with reputation. That is a faith we want. One that grabs the attention of believers in other areas, stirring others up. A faith that is live and active. That is a faith that glorifies the Lord. And boy, do we need that type of faith in these days. But here he is saying, since you have been raised with Christ, or essentially because you have resurrected life or new life in Christ, he's telling them there are implications. There is an imperative. It comes with responsibility. If we have resurrected life ourselves, we must live like it. See, in the family of God, a family we're born into, we have rights and we have responsibilities. We love to think of our rights in the Lord, that grace, that mercy, the forgiveness, the salvation that comes through a relationship with Christ. But do we realize that that comes with responsibilities and choice as well? True faith is always followed by obedience. That is a tough pill for a lot of us to swallow. I know I wrestle constantly with that. Growing up, I lived under my parents' roof. I was fed. I was taken care of. But I had chores. I had to be obedient. I had rights and responsibilities. So Paul writes to these early Christians, giving essentially two imperatives that we will be focusing on this morning. He says, first, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. This is a strong admonition from Paul. And the original structure is an active imperative, which means Paul is strongly admonishing these believers to keep seeking those things which are above. Now, we have to remember the Bible is written to them in that day, but it is always for us, written to them, but for us. If we are in Christ, we need to keep seeking the things of God, spiritual thoughts and spiritual things. There are countless reasons why, but I want to point out two major ones. First off, we need to be constantly seeking. Paul knows that they needed it. All believers do. It challenges us and it grows our faith. As we seek those things above, we are occupied by the things of the Spirit. We are protected. We are encouraged. We are strengthened. And inevitably, we will produce fruit as we exhort others and speak into the lives of others with love and grace. Secondly, there is so much more to know about Christ. There are, as Paul tells us in Ephesians, unsearchable riches of Christ. This is a lifelong process. Our sanctification is a lifelong process. We'll never fully know all things about Christ or finish growing in Him until we are home, which means we need to keep seeking and searching. Right? I also love that he echoes Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6:33, which is to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things that we need will be added to us. This should be the life pursuit of us all as believers. If I ever feel comfortable enough, if I don't feel the need to seek any further, if I'm done pressing in and I feel like I'm good where I'm at, nice and comfortable, Lord help me, Lord help us as a church. Where Christ is, he goes on to say, seated at the right hand of God. So here Paul is giving us this illustration to represent the spiritual things that have a position of honor and favor and authority. God's right hand always symbolizes strength and salvation. So the first imperative is to keep seeking, right? The next imperative he gives is to set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. Another active imperative here, like verse 1, Paul is saying, keep setting your mind, keep seeking, keep setting. This should be an ongoing process in our life, a consistently ongoing process. Now, the Greek word phroneo is used here, and it means to have an understanding, to be wise, to think, to direct one's mind to a thing or to strive for. The idea or the context Paul is essentially giving us here is that as we regulate, our perspective or our insight and direct our minds towards these things, our outward behavior will correspond with that. So as we keep seeking and setting our minds purposefully and obediently on things of the Lord, our lives will be changed. Now notice he doesn't leave it at setting our minds on things above, but he reminds us not to set them on the things of the earth. We could spend hours just on these few words here, but we won't. However, we do know that the world and the things of earth are increasingly growing dark, debauched, and wicked. There's delusion, deceit, and lawlessness everywhere. There is such a stark contrast in these days with the things of above that Paul is pointing us to. And the things of the world is really a no-brainer. So, there's such a stark contrast that Paul is pointing us to, and it's really a no-brainer that we can see that contrast now more than ever in our world. And the Spirit should be giving us discernment now more than ever, not only to pull away from the things of earth, but to draw near to the Lord. I don't know about you, but for myself, when I take my eyes off the Lord and I put it on the things of the earth or what's going on around me, I get disturbed, I get distracted, I get bitter, I get discouraged, I get angry. I am no use to the kingdom. Quite the opposite happens as I set my eyes and I seek the things of above. You know, I have peace and joy and clarity. I have love. I have discernment to God's plan and the purpose he has for my life. I have true abundant life, which the Lord can use. The Christian life flourishes as we practice these things. He goes on to say, for you died and your life is hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So Paul reminds us that we died with Christ, we are risen, and it is not us who live, but Christ who lives in us. And however and whenever he takes us home or appears or however it plays out, we will be with him in glory. We should be dead to the things of the world. We should be dead to the old life. These early Christians were living in more debauched times than we are, and as our days increasingly move backwards to the days of the first century church, the imperative and the warning is still the same. But he reminds us again, we are dead to the old life, to the things of the world. It's not us who live, but it's Christ who lives in us and through us. But at the same time, our lives are hidden in him. It's a beautiful illustration. We have an inheritance that the scripture tells us is laid up for us in heaven. A beautiful reminder of our purpose as we seek and set our minds on the things of above on our pilgrim journey. Paul brings us back around, to our rights in the family as heirs in Christ and to the glorious hope and future that's awaiting us. So as we wrap up this section and we begin the new year, let us focus on what the Lord has for us. Let us focus on the life that he has called us to. Let us continue to seek and to set our minds on the things of above, letting the things of earth grow dim in the light of his glory and grace, as the old hymn says. Press into the Lord, press into his word, into fellowship, into prayer. Now is the time. Thank you.